Please stand then for the call to worship. From Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 12, again speaking of Christ foretelling his great work of atonement. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. O Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the one way of salvation that you have brought to pass in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who came into this world. He showed perfect obedience and righteousness in every thought, word, and deed. And yet he knew always it was the plan of God that he would suffer on the cross, that he would bear the wrath of God for your people. And so it is your plan that you have indeed accomplished. Jesus came to bear our iniquities and to bring us even everlasting life with you, having forgiveness and righteousness. And all of this because of Jesus Christ, who gave himself an offering for sin. Now we do give you praise and honor, Father, Holy Spirit, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask that you would be with us, guide and direct us, help us to hear your word rightly, forgive our sins, increase our faith. Indeed, help us to give you honor and glory. We do pray it as we ask it all through Christ our Lord in his holy name. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be. Let us confess together the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to our first hymn, 257, as we think of Christ again, stricken, smitten, and afflicted.
Thank you.
can say it clearer than that. Christ has done to bring redemption for his people. The Psalter reading today, Psalm 10, page 789. Starting page 789, Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?
The wicked and his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised.
For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord.
The wicked and his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts.
His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them.
He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity.
His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity.
He sits in the lurking places of the villages. And in the secret places he murders the innocent.
He lies in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net.
So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength.
He has said in his heart, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see.
Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not permit the
Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account.
But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay a tired man. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the powerless.
Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear.
To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man and the earth may oppress no more.
Certainly the Lord our God is the God of perfect justice and righteousness. While we are in this life, he shows mercy. He is long-suffering even to the wicked who, as described, do not want to think of him at all. And those who sneer at their enemies and so forth, we know, of course, how Jesus received that abuse. They sneered at him and said, if you are the Christ, come down from the cross, save yourself, and so forth. They blasphemed him, but he would not, of course, turn from the task God had given him to redeem his people. And so we have all praise and trust that we owe to him. May the Lord God so lead us as his witnesses and thankful people at all times, whatever happens in this sin-cursed world. From the Belgic Confession today, Article 6, page 876. In Article 6, the difference between the canonical and apocryphal books. We distinguish those sacred books from the apocryphal, these the third and fourth books of Esdras, the books of Tobit, Judith, Wisdom, Jesus, Sirach, Baruch, the appendix to the book of Esther, the song of the three children in the furnace, the history of Susanna, of Bel and the dragon, the prayer of Manasseh, and the two books of the Maccabees, all of which the church may read and take instruction from so far as they agree with the canonical books. But they are far from having such power and efficacy that we may, from their testimony, confirm any point of faith or of the Christian religion. Much less may they be used to detract from the authority of the other, that is, the sacred books. And of course, the Church, again, has recognized the 66 books of the Bible that we have as being inspired by God. As it is plain, they are from Him in so many ways, in prophecies and even the doctrines and all. We know we have the true points of our faith, proclaimed to us there. These apocryphal books were written between the testamental times, between the Old and New Testament, and they have some parts of his history and so forth there, but they are also of points of false doctrine. They cannot be used to take away from the Bible as we have it, and it's not really that important that we know what they are about, as you probably haven't even heard of, remember all those books. But we have the truth in the inspired scriptures as we have held to that, and the church has from its beginning of the New Testament period. Yes, of course, we must rely upon the Word of God, what He has said to us, how He's proclaimed the gospel to us, and how we are to live in all thankfulness to Him. He is the Holy Lord, Holy Father, Son, and Spirit, who calls us to worship, to pray, and to come into His presence. So let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies again. We know You are the God who has created, and You are the God who has provided redemption for Your fallen people. We turned away from You, even from our first parents, and yet You said the seed of the woman would come, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who would conquer the devil, who would win our victory for us, even over sin and Satan and death. And so we praise You for such a plan of salvation, all to Your eternal glory, O Triune God. May we be more thankful then, even day by day. And we thank You for Your holy word that proclaims this truth, this gospel to us. May we hold it dear in our hearts and minds. May we have it on our tongues also, that we speak the truth. And we want to be Your witnesses, even to evangelize others who do not know You. We pray, O Lord, and in this sin-cursed world, that we would continue to have patience and rely upon Your mercies, that we would not give up, certainly, in our walk of faith, but that we would continue strong, even though the effects of the curse, of course, are upon us as well. We do pray for Your blessings, O God, that You would be honored, and that we would serve You and be edified, that we would be sanctified, more and more conformed to the image of Christ, and live for Your honor and Your glory. Again, help us to bear good witness to the Lord Jesus in all things. Thank You for answering prayers for us in so many ways. We do pray You'll continue to be with us as a congregation, as families and individuals. Help our church officers to be diligent. May we all serve You and have Your direction. O Heavenly Father, pray that for us and all our congregations and our denomination. Thank You for the classes meeting this past week, and pray that all the decisions there will prove to be of good effect for Your church and the advancement of Your word, O Lord, and Your people. Again, we thank You. You are the faithful God and Father to us. You care for us beyond what we can even understand, and so we acknowledge that. We know that is the reality, even as Christ gave Himself at the cross. And so may we serve You then in all gratitude. We do pray You'll continue to be with Zach and Alicia and their sons and ask for Your blessings upon them. We know that You are the powerful God, and You are providing even through the treatment she's received. And thank You for some diminishing of pain and all. And I just pray You'll certainly protect her, wouldn't fall with any seizures and so forth, but that the radiation and the chemotherapy would be of good effect, and You'll shrink the tumor, and that You would deliver her from the cancer, O Lord. May they rely upon You, and that You'll provide for them spiritually, physically, financially, in every way, and bless their relationships and all things, that You would receive the glory. Be with Aaron and family as well, O Heavenly Father. We thank You for Your mercies, that the hole is healed in her lung, and they have been testing that and finding it so, and that she is able to travel now, and even in airplane. And we do pray that You will guide and direct her and Paul as they plan to leave tomorrow and for San Diego, and then going to the center in Tijuana. We pray that it would be of, yes, the best effect, O Lord. You'd certainly bring the cancer into remission, or You can remove it. We know all things come not by chance, but by Your fatherly hand. So we do pray for Your glory to be manifest. And even though there are spots in our lung and liver, we pray that this will not spread elsewhere, but that You would show Your goodness in that way, with both of them, and certainly with their children. And thank you for other family here and that will be here to help in caring for them. And just pray they'd have strength and peace in you, looking to you in the Christian faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, guide and direct. You would be praised, be with others who need your healing care and your comfort. Some are classes, ministers who are suffering at this time. We ask for your continued blessings for them. We pray for the Johnson family again, and Lee could still recover completely from the stroke. Guide the classes in giving them care and counsel, and for the congregation at Lincoln to have your direction, O Lord God. Thank you for the mission work that is official now at Montana. We ask for your blessings upon your people there and for Menno, the congregation, as they give oversight. We pray for our country, O Lord, that we turn to you in your righteousness. We do depend upon your mercies at all times. Certainly we ask for your goodness to be manifest in the political scene, that our governmental leaders would not do what is evil, what is contrary to your word and its principles. Pray that the Supreme Court nominee, Judge Jackson, would not be confirmed. He's showing so many ways that she's not fit to be on the Supreme Court, not even knowing if we have natural rights and so forth. We do pray you would show your power and your goodness and protect us and direct in all things. Certainly we would not be in a war in Ukraine, but we ask for your people there to be turn to you and to be your witnesses even through that time. We do pray for the unborn and are in the land that they might be protected. Certainly that Roe v. Wade would be overturned, but the states would not continue to promote abortion at all. So your guidance, O Lord, even with common sense and truth. Again, we do pray for our church in San Diego, Reverend Beloy, and mission works in other lands, Philippines and Africa, that you would guide and be with your people. Fill them up in faith and in service and in numbers according to your goodwill. Again, help us to hear your word, guide in the selection year. At this time, help us to hear your word, help me to proclaim it, and that you would be honored and that we would be built up to serve you gladly again. We do pray all of it with the forgiveness of our sins in Christ's name for his sake alone. Amen. Let's turn then to hymn number 248. Ah, Holy Jesus, how hast thou offended, as we stand to sing. Sin and the sun have suffered.
cannot pay thee. I do adore thee, and will ever pray thee. Take on thy pity, and thy love unswerving, not my deserving.
Maybe see it. Scripture passage for the sermon today is John 17, 9 to 19. John 17, starting at verse 9, as Jesus again is praying. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Well, I spoke about it a bit in Sunday school, but that the hotel where delegates stayed at for classes this past week, I had a lengthy conversation with one of the desk clerks, and you can, I think, pray for him. His name is Zach Walker. When we first came in, he called us brothers, and so I wondered if he was a Christian. I got to talk to him later that night, but I found he was not a churchgoer at all, and he had some very strange ideas about life and the world. He said he was raised as a Roman Catholic, but now he was agnostic, imagining no one could really know what was absolute truth about God. Oh, he said he was not afraid to die, as many people are, but he rather contradicted himself later. But I did reply that many atheists even are very terrified when it actually comes to the time of their death. Some have cried out, "I don't know what's going to happen." But really in their hearts they know there's a judgment coming. For we are made to have a conscience, and we all know we have disobeyed God. Yes, that one, that Creator whose judgment is coming to all. I said, by nature, all know that, and all mankind are now in the fallen nature in rebellion against God, our Creator. And therefore, we must have spiritual birth, rebirth, by God's Spirit, to have true faith and to be forgiven by Him through trusting in Christ's sacrifice at the cross as that only way of redemption. Well, I challenged him to read this very Gospel of John, which declares that Christ is God and man, the only Savior, the only one who could be the Savior for sinners. He did say he had the Bible on audio and he could listen to it while he was working if he wanted to. The next day I urged him again to listen to the Gospel of John. He muttered some other confused ideas, and you know that could be expected too. For unless one is converted to Christ through God's holy word and by his Spirit working in that one, he or she will remain of this world. Jesus said the apostles were not of the world. Well, let us see first today that this evil world is rejected by God. Secondly, believers are sanctified through God's Word. Yes, dear ones, here a wonderful assurance is given from our Lord Jesus. It's regarding His true followers as they are a society belonging to the Father and the Son. And Christ's glory, He said, shines forth through them in all ages. Not so in the evil world that is rejected by God. And it is rejected, we can see here, having no election. That is, the evil world indicates those who are not chosen by God for salvation. As for them, Christ says in verse 9, I do not pray for the world. And you know, that probably shocks many people. They think Jesus could heal all kinds of people that He met and so forth. He was so kind to them, but you know, He did not ask for the safeguarding salvation, sanctification, or glorification of the non-elect. Never did. As for His disciples, here He said in verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so the wonderful news is that Christians are brought out of the unbelieving mass of humanity only by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear ones, you see, there's an utter difference between true brothers and sisters in Christ and unbelievers. How thankful you and I must be for that. God is our Redeemer in Christ. And of course, His redeeming work is applied to sinners according to God's choice. Election from eternity past. It's not due to any merit in the individual. And again, the world here means those who will never trust in Jesus, but only will reject Him. In contrast to those non-elect, Christ died for and does redeem God's chosen ones. Again, all praise be to the triune God. And yet we should understand that the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus at the cross is sufficient. It's of infinite merit to save all people if that was God's will. And the gospel must be proclaimed earnestly to all. Indeed, we know the elect of all nations will be saved by Christ. And so you and I should pray for conversion among all people. And certainly we must do that, as we don't know who are the elect. God knows. They're His chosen. But the evil world is rejected by our holy Creator God, who will judge all mankind. Yes, this evil world is rejected then, and it is heading to perdition. Well, Jesus prayed in verse 12 that none of His true apostles or followers were lost. Only the son of perdition was lost. And obviously that refers to Judas Iscariot, whom Jesus knew would be the betrayer, His betrayer, and even called him a devil at the end of chapter 6. That evil man was the one exception to those called or outwardly chosen in his case to be an apostle. Yes, through those 3 years, he appeared to be a true apostle. But the reality is he was bound to perish and enter eternal punishment or perdition according to prophecy. The Old Testament scripture would be fulfilled in that, as Jesus said. For Judas was an utterly lost, doomed one appointed to destruction. Remember, that was foretold as in Psalm 41:9, as he was the one Jesus said would eat his bread, but lifted up his heel against him. And in Psalm 109:8, it was foretold that another would take his office, Judas's office. We can see that in Acts 1. And still, think of that. But think of this, that Judas is not the only one under such condemnation. For example, the Antichrist figure foretold in 2 Thessalonians 2 is also called the son of perdition. And the reality is that all those who will remain in unbelief or rebellion against God all their days are heading to perdition, eternal punishment, that is. That's reality, that's truth, no matter what people think, no matter how much they try to deny it and suppress that truth. And clearly, obviously, that is why we all need the only Savior, Jesus. His assurance then is that true Christians are not heading to perdition because we have Him by faith. And so Christ could pray in confidence about their salvation, about believer salvation, and He did not ask for them, the apostles, or for us to be taken out of the world as if we needed protection from hell in that way. No, there is security in Christ for those who trust in Him, of course. And yet, oh, we can at times feel that we would want to be taken to heaven immediately rather than live here any longer. The faithful can have such moments as Job, Elijah, Jonah, and Moses did in troublous times. They wanted to be taken out of this world then. But you see, Christ did not pray for that with His own apostles, though they would face great persecution, as He had warned them. Instead, brothers and sisters, you and I must know it is His will that we deny ourselves, take up our own cross daily, and follow Him as He commanded in Luke 9:23. Well, as for the apostles, they had the great task from God to carry out. As the Lord said in chapter 15:27, you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And so clearly they could not be taken away from that calling. Their witness was the way for unbelievers to hear of Christ, believe on Him, and escape hell or perdition. Likewise, as for our calling, whatever it is in this life, God the Father will see that its fulfillment is accomplished. Yes, He will preserve us and all Christ's followers to that end. As Matthew Henry said here, what comfort for believers that Christ Himself commits us to the Father's care. He was going away to heaven, but He asked for the Father to protect, to keep His followers. And how wonderful that all the faithful are so assured of salvation and escape from perdition. This evil world is instead rejected by the Holy God. It's also rejected for hating Christians. Yes, He has already told His followers that the world hated Him, and so it hated them. But here it's even the case, as in our verse 14, He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Indeed, how different from the goals of this world was our Lord Jesus. For He did not have possessions, worldly power, honor, riches, or pleasures even. He was a man of sorrows instead, for our sake, beloved. And so, yes, the world's hatred toward Christ will also be toward His friends. And why? Because we don't conform to the world and its standards. When we do show Christian attitudes, words, and deeds, we will, as believers, be hated as so different from the world. That was the case in the first century and ever since, and we have to expect it. Well, I think of some miserable examples of that today. As when hatred is expressed toward those not accepting homosexuality, transgenderism, pornographic books, and sexualization of young children even in some school curriculum and practices. And then the parents who speak against that are accused of what? Domestic terrorism. Another recent example is that a school nurse was being investigated. Now I just saw it was suspended for revealing that her school was giving puberty blockers to some of the students and hid that from parents. What a world. What an evil world that our God rejects. Oh, dear ones, whether it is proclaiming the gospel as you and I must, or simply speaking for truth, morality, and common sense, we will face the hatred of this world. Nonetheless, let us each remember that our Lord Jesus was hated, and He calls us to be faithful. Faithful to Him. And the triune God loves us, His people, forever in Christ. He accepts us. And that love and grace, and the evil world must be called to repentance. For the Creator and Judge of all rejects this world. Second, though, believers are sanctified through God's Word. And it is the Holy Father whom Jesus prays to, in utter contrast to the evil world, of course. And in this prayer, the Father's moral and spiritual qualities are appealed to for the answers desired. For yes, the Father works in believers' hearts by His Word and Spirit to bring our pursuit of those same good qualities. Oh, there was evidence of it in the true apostles already, however dimly present, as one said. Like them, you and I are to be sanctified in Jesus, the living Word, and through the written Word, the Scriptures. Here we are sanctified first as given to Christ. The apostles are those Jesus prayed for, obviously, in verse 9. Prayed for them first, but He would also pray for all God's elect who would trust in Him later, as in verses 20 and following. But now we have the comfort to know of Christ, even as He is described in Hebrews 7:25, that He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Yes, that's what He's doing in heaven, we are assured of that. Pleading for us, all His people. After all, the elect belong to God, as Jesus said, and the Father gave them to Christ, as He declared repeatedly in this prayer. He is the living Word, revealing all this truth, all the truth we need to know. And so, dear ones, you know, we can plead it for ourselves that we are God's people, and we come to Him to save and bring us to eternal life. Indeed, all believers are given to Christ for that glorious end. And so He said in verse 10, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now think of that statement. For again, it is only as being one in essence with the Father that it could be said. No creature could say, all your possessions are mine, O God. Not rightly. But Christ owns all along with the Father, and so He has authority over all flesh, as He said in verse 2, yes, over all things, all the universe. And truly, mutual ownership brings mutual interest and action between them. And so Jesus prayed fervently for His followers with absolute confidence. For the elect belong, again, to the Son of God from eternity. And as mediator, they are given to Jesus to redeem them. And so that is how He is and will be glorified in them. Oh, in a limited way, the apostles already reflected Christ. For they were interested in His goals, loved what He loved, and hated what He hated, meaning unrighteousness. Therefore, beloved of God, we also have such comfort in knowing we are given to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are His. And since He was concerned to pray for His followers when He was leaving for heaven, you know He will certainly pray for us when glorified there with all authority. As one said, it was only his visible guardianship that ended with his death. For our blessed Lord Jesus provides for Christians from heaven, again interceding for us with the Father, always. Oh, it follows then that we should desire to be removed to heaven also to be with our God at his appointed time. That will be when our work here is finished. For now we are already sanctified in the sense of being set apart for God in our Savior by trusting him, the living Word. And we will be sanctified in life, more conformed to his image by the written Word and Spirit working in us. Believers are so as kept safe in God's name. Well, since his disciples would be hated, attacked, and tempted in the wicked world, Christ prayed that the Father would keep them holy or separate from the world and separate from the evil one, Satan, verse 15. And remember, repeatedly in this these chapters, they speak against the devil, against Satan, who had entered Judas, was on his way with those to arrest Jesus, and he had been judged already by God. Yes, Christ prayed his apostles would be protected or kept by the Father. For as the good shepherd, he had said in chapter 10:29, that no one is able to snatch his sheep out of his hand, not even the devil. But remember, the promises of God are to be prayed for, as we've seen before. And therefore Jesus asked that they not be taken by Satan, for they are not of the world, not of his domain. And think of it, dear ones, that by this very prayer, we can say the gospel ministry and Christ's church have been and will be preserved to the end of this world. After all, that keeping of his own is what Jesus did while with them, he said, verse 12. Many things he did for them, just as in saving them from death on the stormy sea. More importantly, he kept them united to him in spiritual life and faith. And all his ministry, teachings, and miracles, he kept them by, quote, holding before them constantly the things he had heard from the Father, that is, his name. Yes, you know, they were kept safe in God's name, for the revelation of the Holy God kept them from falling to the power of evil. I said, however much they may have failed, their failure has never been complete. There was no apostasy among them as there was with Judas. And in line with what he had done, Christ asked the Father to keep them by the power of his own name. And so they would be kept, even as Jesus means Savior, and the Father will certainly keep his true children in the faith. Again, thanks be to God for such assurance to us, brothers and sisters. Well, the Father certainly will accept Christ's prayer. He does guard the apostles and all believers from spiritual harm or being lost. And he furnishes us for our duties and will bring us to heaven at last. Jesus has gone there, but we are kept through the revelation of God he gave. For the Father is holy, just, merciful, and loving, and we have his word. Well, along with that keeping, its goal in verse 11 is that the apostles were to be one as the Father and Son were. Certainly that's to be united in love and purpose, in defense of the truth, the one way of salvation in Jesus. They were to be one in that way, and so are all Christians. But that prayer, as one said, is not for having one worldwide denomination that would sacrifice principles of the Scriptures. And there were no denominations then. But the oneness of believers is to be against the evils of this world, against all denials that Christ alone can save, against claims that our works contribute anything to our redemption. Indeed, being kept safe in God's name is what Jesus prayed for them as he was leaving the world after his death, resurrection, and ascension. And in verse 13, he spoke so in their presence that his joy would be fulfilled in them. Oh, dear ones, we have seen as from Hebrews 12 that Christ's joy was to save his people by his sacrifice on the cross. Yes, conquering sin, Satan, and death. And so even here at this time, hearing that they were prayed for, they belonged to Jesus and the Father who would guard them and keep them united in the Lord, all of that would give them great spiritual joy. And so it should for us. Again, Jesus wanted and prayed for the same eternal joy he had in their redemption to be experienced by his apostles. So it was then. And as they declared that word of redemption, for Christ is our chief joy, the one who suffered to take God's wrath from us, it must be your and my joy. And since he is the risen Lord who saves us, all believers can and shall rejoice forever. Indeed, you can say all believers are kept safe in God's name, for the day of glory, the life to come. We're sanctified even now through God's word, and thereby called to be sanctified. Yes, Christians are set apart by election and having spiritual life and faith given, and we grow here in that new life. That growth is what our Lord prayed for in verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And by the way, those words behind me are found in part on the wall behind the pulpit at the Rock Springs, Wyoming Church. Well, this prayer calls for believers to be consecrated or confirmed in the truth of God in our lives. And it must be more fully that we are being conformed to Christ in thoughts, words, and deeds to live more in accord with God's commandments. Is that not what you and I desire, beloved? Yes, to be more like Christ in faith and obedience. That must be our great prayer, certainly. Well, the sanctifying truth is not only found in what Jesus taught, but also in what he did, obviously, in his all-sufficient sacrifice. For, you know, just remembering, if we just were mentally remembering his words, that would not enable the apostles or anyone to be faithful as his servants. We must have the power of his death and resurrection to cleanse us and to make us more sanctified, dedicated to him. It's his power, again, we rely on as we cooperate with the Lord. And all Christians must then desire to live according to that revelation of Christ as the ultimate standard of life and doctrine. Indeed, his church is so cleansed by the washing of water by the word, as it says in Ephesians 5. Again, Jesus is the truth embodied, but God's written word must be the source of truth for us since he has departed, even as we study it, learn it. And the triune God must finish his work begun in us. And he will do that as he promises. So you and I cannot rely simply on ourselves. We certainly cannot rely on ourselves. But we have sure hope of perseverance and sanctification by his work. Well, certainly for that end, our Lord Christ prayed here. It was for the apostles and for you and me to increasingly love the Word of God and to live according to it. We know it's the truth given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so let us hold to it, fellow believers. With that sanctification, we are sent also into the world, as our Lord said, verse 18. It was so first with the apostles. For Jesus was sent by the Father to proclaim and provide salvation. And parallel to that, they, and really all believers, are sent to proclaim that word of the self-sacrificing love of Christ at the cross. And you're my, and my living is to reflect that love to others. That's our calling, is to carry forth His mission, whatever your occupation or what, in this life. Indeed, we must certainly have the power of God's Spirit for that task. And Jesus said He sanctified Himself to obtain it and for the new life to be enabled. Now, of course, our Lord was always perfectly holy. The word for sanctify can mean to dedicate what is already holy. That's clearly the case with Him, the one who consecrated Himself for us as the sinless human, the high priest and victim, to take away our sin. And His sacrifice was truly personal, rational, and spiritual. It was not as an unconscious animal was sacrificed, obviously. Well, then, in Jesus Christ, all believers are sanctified by the truth, set apart, or truly consecrated, as some translations have the last words. Still, being sanctified through the truth of His revelation is probably the best translation understanding. In any case, dear ones, as truly consecrated through hearing the Word of God, the apostles were to bear witness to Jesus, and then the elect would be brought in. God would be given all the glory. Their witness was certainly essential for us. For you and I must depend on the Scriptures they were inspired to write, to know Christ and to trust Him ourselves. May that be evident more and more, and may our lives be more sanctified, giving glory to God and calling others to Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the faithful God, the Redeemer of Your people through the Lord Jesus Christ. We depend upon You and Your mercies. We depend upon that word of the gospel proclaimed to us in the Scriptures. How we thank You that the Lord Jesus called those true apostles to follow Him and to proclaim the truth, to spread it far and wide, and they were inspired to write the words that we have. And so we thank You for Your faithfulness. We do pray You would enable us to stand for truth, even though we can be tempted and discouraged in this sin-cursed world, that evil world You certainly reject. You call Your people, Your chosen ones, out of it to live for You, to give You honor and praise. May we do that more and more. Sanctify us, O Lord our God, through the living Word, Jesus, and through the written Word. Guide us by Your grace and Spirit to serve You in all gratitude. May we be Your witnesses. May many more, multitudes more, be won to Christ before that last day of judgment that is coming. May we serve You then gladly. Guide and direct us, we do ask. And we do pray it all through Christ our Lord. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we'll receive tithes and offerings in thankfulness to Christ. Thank you. Let's turn to our last hymn, number 261, What Wondrous Love Is This, as we stand to sing. See the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,